can run on for a long time.
Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you in Madison on Devil Radio, 92.7 FM and WTTN 1580 AM. And in Waukesha on the Shaw, 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits and all points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. You're going right to the front lines of history in the making. Very shocking story just came over the AP wire. Former Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe, A-B-E, or Shinzo Abe, has just been assassinated. He was gunned down in a Western Japanese city while he was giving a speech for his party's candidate there to the upper house. And obviously it's a different time zone many times away, so it was likely what to us would have been late yesterday afternoon. Shinzo Abe is dead, shot dead by an assassin. From the name, it looks like the assassin was also Japanese himself. There was no known motive. So far, there's no indication that the guy didn't like Abe's policy. Shinzo Abe, when he was elected, was slightly more conservative than previous prime ministers. He served as prime minister briefly from 2006 to 2007, and then again from 2012 to 2020. Stepped down because he had colitis and he needed medical attention. He was out there campaigning. Very able guy, very committed to the American alliance, very committed to our policies in containing China. He stood up to the Chinese. And he strongly supported Taiwan's independence. So he will be missed. He'll be missed as an advocate for the mini NATO that's being created in the Pacific among Japan, South Korea, the United States, Australia, New Zealand, the Philippines, and Vietnam to contain the Chinese, the red Chinese, not the Taiwanese Chinese. They're good. All people are good. I'm not saying any people are bad. But the communist leaders in mainland China are bad. Shinzo Abe is dead. Now, I want to follow up on that in this respect. You have to be very careful about advocating assassinations because they don't stay local. They spread. I'm hoping that this is an aberrant thing, somebody, maybe a mentally ill individual. It's very hard to get a gun in Japan, so I don't know where he got it. I'm sure they're going to interrogate him and they're going to investigate this. But I'm hoping that this is not an indication of wider unrest in Asia. And by unrest, there's always unrest everywhere in the world. But I'm hoping that it's not the kind of violent unrest that's very difficult to contain. And so, when we talk about Ukraine and Vladimir Putin, I maintain, and a lot of people maintain, that the only way to stop Russia is for there to be a change of leadership. Vladimir Putin has got to get out of there somehow, one way or the other, and have somebody substituted who may be just as crooked as he is and potentially vicious as he is, because that's all they have in their leadership now, but somebody with a little more vision who says Russia can do very well just competing in a world market without invading its neighbors. Now, if that were a democracy over there, which it's not, it was a communist state, then it became a mafia state with about 10 years of seeming independence in between with Boris Yeltsin in charge, but he was as crooked as a dog's hind leg too, and it just set the stage for the oligarchs to take over, put Putin in power. So how does Putin get out? Now, in the United States, the president can be beaten in an election. Let's take George H.W. Bush. He was beaten in an election. He had a very comfortable life in retirement. He spoke a lot, influential guy. He had a good retirement. That is not possible in Russia. The head guy in Russia is riding the back of a tiger. If you can't get off a tiger, because he'll be eaten by the tiger. So he's riding the back of a tiger. He knows that the oligarchs are afraid of him and hate him. He knows everybody's afraid of him and hates him. He threatens nuclear weapons, nuclear weapon use. He hasn't done it. He doesn't mean it. It would be the end of Europe, but it would also be the end of a lot of civilization. We can't have that. The only way for him to get out, since he can't retire, he can't step down. There's nowhere in the world he could go in retirement. I don't care if it's Abu Dhabi, Bahrain. You know, they're not going to take him in China. If they did, be afraid for his life. Anywhere in Russia, be afraid for his life. The only way he can be removed is to pass away. Now he's ill. Apparently he has cancer. But apparently his specialist is under control. Maybe thyroid cancer. We're not sure. But typically what happens in those kinds of cases is that he's removed by a successor who's as crooked, venal, and vicious as he is. And that can include assassination. He has already killed more than six oligarchs in Barcelona, in Moscow, around the world. Suddenly these guys in their villas are found shot, stabbed. Their wives and daughters in a couple of cases were shot or stabbed. Putin's government put out word that they committed suicide as a murder-suicide. Six of them within a couple of months. Very few people commit suicide by stabbing themselves, stabbing their families. He was killed by the successor to the KGB, the FSB. Putin himself was an assassin with the KGB. But when we talk about Putin, it has to be talked about in this context. It's not right, and it's not going to happen, that the United States is going to have him assassinated. That's going to happen internally, and he's becoming increasingly unhinged. But this business in Japan with the assassination just now of Shinzo Abe, former prime minister, a little on the conservative side, but dedicated to the alliance with the United States, is very shocking, disturbing, because there's unrest throughout a lot of Asia. China, they rule with an iron hand, and if at any time Xi is seen by the rebel in the communist leadership, there's about 300 of them in this communist council, and there's some kind of consensus that somebody else should take over, they have ways of doing that there without killing Xi. And obviously Australia and New Zealand are democracies. Vietnam is a communist country. The Philippines is a corrupt country. But basically, by and large, they're united with us to contain mainland China. I just hope that this assassination business does not continue. I want to turn to something here in the United States. And this is a very disturbing thing as well. You know, we've talked about voter suppression. We've talked about laws being passed in places like Texas to make it harder to vote, especially in Democratic areas. Well, in Texas, there's some data to back that up. In the most recent election in El Paso County, El Paso County is where El Paso is. I've been to El Paso, nice little town. Beto O'Rourke was the congressman from El Paso. And in the election, mail-in ballots come in, and the last batch of mail-in ballots in an election there, 98% of them in the Democratic primary were rejected. 98%, because they didn't comply with a new state law that was very unclear to people. And here's what it is. There's more than 1,000 ballots rejected. Only 2% of them, of the ballots cast, were accepted. 2%. And this is a Democratic area. And sometimes the people in these areas, they're poorer, they're not as attuned to the law, they don't make any effort to tell them what the law is. And here's the sneaky little thing that the Republican leadership put in Texas. On your mail-in ballot, you have to put down some identification number. You're given the option of putting down your driver's license number, your state ID number, the last four numbers of your Social Security number. But they passed the law that said, whichever one you use, and you can only use one, it had to match identically the number you used to register. Well, I first registered to vote, what, 50 years ago? I don't have the faintest idea what identification I showed. I'm sure I showed a driver's license. I don't think we used Social Security numbers back then. But if you're in Texas, you sit there and you go, what number did I use 30 years ago, 50 years ago, 10 years ago, 2 years ago, 18 years ago? Was it my driver's license number? Was it my state ID number? Or was it the last four numbers of my Social Security number? And you take a guess, and you have a 1 in 3 chance of being right. You can't put them all down. You can't, if they say rejected, you can't go back and say, okay, let me try another one. What sense does it make to require an identity of numbers of these three possibilities from years ago, from the time when you registered? This is done to make it very difficult for people typically who are not as sophisticated voters. And they can be elderly with memory problems. They can be people who are impoverished, don't have a lot of education, don't follow up on the regs, and they just see a thing on the ballot that says you can put one of these three numbers. But they don't understand that it better match up with whichever one of the three they used 30 years ago. Any one of the three identifies them. Any one of them three identifies them. This is nothing more than a whack-a-mole thing where they're trying to trick people into having their ballots rejected. And this is going on in the United States. This is going on in Texas. This is because of the Texas Republican Party. Why does not Merrick Garland bring suit against that? Why doesn't Merrick Garland bring suit against that? It's irrational. It makes no difference. Its only purpose is to deter voting. And it is going on, and it just went on. We just got the data in from El Paso County, Texas. 98% of the ballots in the Democratic primary there were rejected. Going to a break. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.